This is BI Radio.
Hi, I'm Don Campbell, Chief Technology Officer.
I'm Stefan Zhu, Technical Architect.
I'm Andrew Kelly, Product Manager.
So today we'd like to talk about innovation that matters. So everybody does innovation or claims to do innovation, but really, what is innovation and how important is it and how do we determine whether it matters or not?
Well, innovation is very important, obviously. Otherwise, people wouldn't be purporting to do it. What I find is that it's harder to do innovation depending on the environment. So it becomes a challenge for a very large enterprise to continue to innovate. And because everyone recognizes it's important, there are things that need to be put in place to make that easier to happen.
But large corporations got there for a reason. And, you know, companies are kind of like sharks in relationships. And if they don't move forward, they die, right? And something else will take the spaces and take the money away from them where they do their business. So it's important that they come up with new ways of fending off other people who are just as hungry for that next dollar as they are.
But culturally, there has to be something in place to allow them to contribute in an effective way.
Yeah, it's important to maintain that as much as possible and probably introduce new things to help sort of scale up the innovation process.
And the innovation that matters doesn't always have to be homegrown either. Part of the way a company, for example, might choose to move forward into a new market space is identify innovations that others have made and move forward with them. People tout Apple all the time as being such an innovative company. And they are, and you know, some would say that you know more so than the likes of a Microsoft or whoever who constantly copy. But where did Apple get the idea for the mouse? It was Xerox PARC. You know, it's an idea of sort of looking around and seeing, hey, and the whole idea of what matters is seeing some kind of technological innovation, a business model innovation, and then applying it to a new space.
That's a good example of actually a pro of being a large enterprise. Sometimes the surface upon which you can innovate is much larger. Just because you're a bigger company, you have more resources available to you, you can almost do innovation at a meta level as opposed to always being the one guy who has to do everything from scratch.
Sure, but that environment, because it's so large, has to be a little bit more prescriptive. You can't be quite as ad hoc about it. You can't have individuals sitting in their own offices or cubicles or working on various things independently without a way of sharing and communicating and joining forces when innovations really can be brought together and have more velocity and more strength.
Yeah, in smaller organizations where things are certainly riskier, you can't hide from the market so much, because if you spend a lot of effort innovating on something and the market doesn't like it, you die. And it's like it's like natural selection. But you know, the larger an organization becomes, it's easier to isolate some of these innovations. But the problem too is that some of these innovations need time to foster and need money to foster. There's a reason why, regrettably, these super colliders and hadron colliders and so on that they built are so monstrous, 27 kilometers dug out of the Alps and whatever they do now to do those kinds of tests. There are only certain organizations that can handle certain types of innovation, and so having a large organization doing that is good for the deep pockets too.
And I think you have to be willing to let things fail, depending on how risky and how edgy you want to be. If everything you do in your innovation cycle is going to market, then maybe you're really not pushing the envelope enough.
Some of the old chestnuts too, like the glue that's used in Post-it notes was supposed to be the perfect adhesive that would never come apart. And
right.
They end up being, hey, it's low residue and reusable, and then it opens up a new area. A little bit of basic science, if you have the resources, can lead to those kinds of, in that case, I believe it was 3M, those types of innovations.
And that's a great example. And be willing to look at something that maybe has a slightly different outcome than your original purpose and be able to take that into a brand new area. That's innovation in itself, just recognizing that.
So how valuable is innovation just in and of itself? The fact that you have a culture that supports innovation keeps people's spirits up, keeps them wanting to work in your organization. Google does that a lot, and they talk about having 20% of their time being accessible to projects that are outside of the normal business day, and that makes people drawn to companies like that because they know they get that opportunity.
Yeah.
And innovative thoughts and ideas really need to be mind. They need a place to go to where they know they can at least be given the opportunity and the support that they need. There's a lot of young minds that may be coming up with great new thoughts, but wouldn't have a clue how to take a product to market or deal with downstream implications or all of those things around the business model, then they can make those innovations much more successful, and they don't feel they have to do it all on their own. I think that's a big part about bringing out innovations in your company and not just hoping they will come out.
Well, and not, you know, literally, well, somewhat literally reinventing the wheel. If within, you know, a trusted organization you want to be able to innovate, it would make a lot more sense for people to innovate on incrementally on stuff that people have already done rather than having four or five people sort of coming up with the same idea and running with it as far as they can and keeping it in stealth mode until the last possible minute, which simply just causes confusion.
And for large organizations, you might be talking about crossing borders and time zones, and it's just not practical to understand what's going on in the development organization of a different country, even within your same organization. But understanding, you know, a place to go where you can find that information so you can learn to join forces and build something collaboratively, I think that's a big part of pushing an innovation forward.
Now, some people would say, well, look at Apple. They hide their stuff altogether. When they're working on something new, they have, you know, these guys locked up in a bank vault-type lab, effectively, to churn out these new ideas. But, like, how do you actually glean that kind of thing without being so open that your competitors can just walk all over you in advance of you? Is the real protection time to market? Is that the real way to make innovation that matters, is make sure that when you do innovate, you think about such things as, well, somebody else is coming out with this, so we better follow this path of dropping a particular idea into the marketplace? I mean, bottom-up groupthink, groundswell, whatever you want to call it,
right,
can generate a lot of really interesting ideas, but we all know cases where people run around and there's inefficiencies and so on. And, you know, does there need to be for a real successful innovation? You go up high enough, there's always one person. Does that have to be the case for innovation to succeed, for innovation to work?
I don't think so. I think there are different levels of innovation. And I think we need to recognize that some of the innovation, as you alluded to earlier, isn't necessarily just a single project. It's more like taking what's available to you. And some of that may come from within your company, some of it may come from without. But clearly, the larger your palette of innovation is available to you, the better that meta-innovation can happen, and the closer you'll be able to hit that market.
So innovation that matters, it's all about helping to drive the business forward. It's efficiencies, it's about exploring new markets, it's about enabling customers to be successful and more competitive in what they do with your products and services and technologies. There's a lot of white space out there, a lot of opportunity to innovate. And so we certainly are recommending that companies put effort into it, put some budgeting aside for it, and churn out as much innovation as they can, because this is it's a great place to be. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Bye.
IBM Information on Demand 2008, the premier information management event for business and IT professionals, and Cognos and IBM Company will be there. Choose from over 750 business leadership and skill-building sessions, 60 deep dives into Cognos products and solutions, and the latest on Cognos and IBM integration. Join MC Martin Short at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, October 26th. Early bird registration closes August 15th. For more information, visit cognos.com/newsletter.
Insights on performance management from the people who shape the industry.